Blog Talk Radio. And welcome to today, May 20th, 2023, episode of Wondrous Truths, Your Health from the Ground Up on Blog Talk Radio. So yeah, this is my new platform. It's been kind of a rocky start in April, late March and April. I guess it was early April. Started with Blog Talk Radio after renewing my contract with WKBK here in Keene, New Hampshire, and really excited. I'm actually really loving the way this is working, and still have so much more to delve into on broadening that out. What I mean by that is platforms where people can get this other than my newsletter and things like that. But very, very fun. So anyway, you are listening to Wondrous Truths, Your Health from the Ground Up. I am Rebecca Montrone. I grew up here in Keene, New Hampshire, and my husband Dale Montrone did as well. We're back in the saddle here in Keene, New Hampshire since 2009 after being away for most of our adult married life. So since 2009, that's been quite a while too, but that seems like yesterday that we got back here. Really love being back here in this area and being back in our own stomping grounds. So I've met many people since we've been back, you know, that we went, people who stayed in the area we went to school with, and then people who also came back. So anyway, here we are, Keene, New Hampshire. Our business here is Wondrous Roots, and we are located on Roxbury Street in downtown Keene. And our business, our office hours here, or our open door hours are 9:30 to 5, Monday through Friday. Our phone number here is 603-439-2603. And you can also reach out to us, to me, to at my website. Our websites, we have two. We have wondrousroots.org, and that will tell you all about what we do here. And there's a lot of good information there. You can also pick up previous newsletters and previous radio broadcasts there on wondrousroots.org. There's also a link there that will take you if you want to see our online store. From that website, you can, but the direct link there is shopwondrousroots.com. So many things I talk about. I am a, for those who might be listening for the first time, I'm a holistic health practitioner with a degree in holistic nutrition. And so I see clients in consultation for very, very many different health problems from wellness to, you know, cancer to extreme things, Parkinson's and you name it. And then from people, you know, cradle to the grave. People, whatever age you are, if you're preconception, if you're conception, if you're children, infants, whatever, up to just right up there in the senior of the seniors. I love working with everybody, love meeting so many wonderful people I have in the work that I do here. Have a wonderful team. I have Sue White, who is one of my assistants, comes in Monday and Thursday. Then I have Mary Wrench, who is technically my stepmother. Since she's my dad's second wife after my mom passed away from Alzheimer's in early life. And then my husband, Dale, who is I forget his official title, but he's the development of business development. And does a lot of stuff in the background here. And many of you saw him when Mary was on vacation, if you popped up the last 3 weeks, 3 weeks before last week. And Dale was doing some duty at the front desk, and I think it was fun for everybody when that happened, although we did dearly miss Mary. In any case, what do I want to say about that? Yes, you can reach out to me at my website if you are interested in a consultation or asking me a question or finding out what else we're doing here. Please feel free. Contact us at wondertruth.org. Call us again, 603-439-2603. Have some exciting, an exciting new thing happening here. Dale and I were we weren't on vacation, but we went away for our birthday weekend. We were in Portsmouth, and Dale happened to notice a shop as we were walking down there on those funky cobblestone sidewalks in Portsmouth, a kind of an old apothecary shop. And in there, they had most of the products they had, the majority were medicinal teas. And I thought, man, that's something I've never done at Wondrous Roots, the medicinal teas. Of course, I learned about them for sure. It's herbal medicine just in tea form. And what I do here in the products that we make are things like tinctures. If you're familiar with that old-timey word, a tincture, which is a liquid. The extract is done in grain alcohol and spring water, and that gives us a menstruum, is what it's called, a solvent that is similar to high alcohol, high percentage alcohol drink, such as vodka or bourbon or whiskey or brandy. But we don't use those. We use the grain alcohol, spring water to approximate that. And what that does is that takes out, the water takes out the water-soluble medicinal properties of that plant, and the alcohol takes out the fat-soluble. There are many plants, and some plants aren't good in teas, right, because you really want to go for those fat-soluble, but there are many plants that are very excellent as teas, and they are very, there are some plants that are better as teas. And so we have got this whole thing brainstormed. Dale, my husband, has been, we got our jars ordered, decided what sizes we want. We got the jars ordered, and he's getting in more shelving space in our space so that we can accommodate these new products. Very excited. I think they'll be really popular with our clientele because some people, well, just for various reasons, people like tea, and also because some people don't like to use tinctures. And I don't know, it just gives another whole twist to things. I'm super excited about it right now. What I'm doing is I am getting together my formulation, deciding on the formulas that I Okay, I just had my my little mute on, and I just don't know how much I missed of what I said, but I think I really messed up this program. So I'm going to have to go back and say that we can test for iodine deficiency. It used to be that we did a test that was very laborious. You had to collect your urine for 24 hours. You don't have to do that anymore. You can get your iodine test kit and do it. It's a dried urine test and very, very easy to do. You just have to do a spot like twice during the whole testing time, 24 hours. So anyway, Dr. David Brownstein says of all the elements known so far to be essential for human health, iodine is the most misunderstood and the most feared, yet iodine is the safest of all the essential trace elements, being the only one that can be administered safely for long periods of time to large numbers of patients in daily amounts as high as 100,000 times the RDA. The current U.S. daily recommended allowance for iodine is set at 150 micrograms for non-pregnant adults. But see, that is like ridiculous when you think about it, because you know, that's just not going to cut the mustard. So here we, Brownstein says, after testing individuals and finding low iodine levels, I began to use smaller milligram amounts of iodide, that's the combination, Lugol solution tablet, 6.25 milligrams per day. Upon retesting these individuals 1 to 2 months later, little progress was made. So he then upped his dosing of people. And I'm going to go back and find that here. And I'm sorry, because I might have lost some listeners if I had my... So this microphone, it has this like really handy button. So if I want to clear my throat, I touch it, but you have to touch it again. And if I look down at this microphone, it has like a red ring if you're muted. And I just look down after like probably talking for, I don't know, 15 minutes. And it was, so if anybody is still happens to be with me, I hope you are. So, gosh. Anyway, he says, after testing individuals and finding low iodine levels, I began to use smaller milligram amounts of iodide upon 6.25 milligrams a day. And some of you will know that I've used that with you in the beginning. Upon retesting these individuals 1 to 2 months later, little progress was made. I therefore began using higher milligram doses, 6.25 to 50 milligrams, to increase the serum levels of iodine. It was only with these higher doses that I began to see clinical improvement as well as positive changes in the laboratory tests. Brownstein is sometimes used between 200 and 300 milligrams of iodine daily with higher doses for more serious and difficult diseases. Now, again, I hope I was talking about this when I was actually being able to be heard. There's concern sometimes about using iodine at all as a supplement or using too much. And one of the popular doctors in alternative kind of or looking at things differently is Dr. William Davis, who wrote Wheat Belly, the book Wheat Belly about wheat and health problem. And I just happened to hit on him, like warning people about taking too much iodine. And he holds to the same misconceptions that many do in the medical field today, not understanding, saying it could cause Hashimoto's, which is exactly wrong. It's that Hashimoto's, if you use iodine with Hashimoto's, and Hashimoto's is the most common form of hypothyroidism, if you use iodine with anyone, you use selenium, and we'll get back to that. But anyway, if you said to some of these people using 200 and 300 milligrams of iodine daily with higher doses for more serious and difficult diseases, some people would just go, oh, shudder. So here's a Dr. Cousins, who was introduced in this article, which you can find on my newsletter there and read in more depth. You can, this cousin says at 6 grams daily, which is, and that is probably the cousins who did the work with high dose vitamin C for, that guy. Oh, I've talked about this before. Anyway, that's what it rings a bell to me. At 6 grams daily, okay, which is 6,000 milligrams a day, a much higher dose, iodine has been used to cure syphilis, skin lesions, and chronic lung disease, says Cousins. Quote, from a larger physiological perspective, it is important to realize that the thyroid is only one gland of many glands and tissues that needs iodine. Other glands, organ systems with high iodine uptake are the breasts, ovaries, cervix, blood, lymph, bones, gastric mucosal, salivary, adrenal, prostate, colon, thymus, lungs, bladder, kidney, and skin. Iodine is found and used in every hormonal receptor in the body. That is the point I was making last week as well. This is so important, and it's not just about the thyroid. Again, if you go and you Google, you're limited in what you're going to find, and with Google and even with I use DuckDuckGo usually, but even with that, I'm finding more and more it's hard to find information that is not skewed according to a certain point of view, and it's the mainstream medicine point of view. So you kind of have to know where to look, what to find. And I do recommend, if you're having trouble finding something on a health topic beyond what seems to be coming across So I'm having, my husband has been emailing me, but I'm not looking at my email. He says, you were muted before you started talking about iodine. Okay. So, yep, that was me. I muted myself. So I am going to start a little bit again and go back. And I apologize to those of you, and I hope you hung with me, because if I just went like dead, you probably went about your business and did something else. But just talked about how you can test yourself, right? And there you'll see in my newsletter, get the kit. Then how much to take. Again, iodine, I think I don't have to go back. I'm just going to keep beating the drum. I'll just keep beating the drum. But again, the information there is super important. It's really vital. And think about how many areas of health are affected by this one nutrient problem, this one problem in nutrient deficiency. And on the one hand, that's like a bad thing, but on the other hand, it's a really good thing, because it's like, oh, really? That's one thing I need to do to affect all of these areas of health? So in any case, my approach to dosing, I typically start with a 12.5 milligram dose. Now, here at my shop, I started out using a product called Iodorol, which is the breakdown of Lugol solution, which is classic. It was Dr. Lugol, more than a century ago, who came up with this. So it's partially potassium iodide and iodine. And now I'm using triiodine, which is potassium iodide and sodium iodide and some molecular iodine. And I personally am going to switch back to Iodorol. And I won't go into all of the reasons why right now. If you're taking triiodine, like I am right now, keep taking it. It's very good. It's doing its job. But I think I prefer, personally, from a scientific standpoint, the iodine, potassium iodide, the way it is in Iodorol and the liquid Lugol solution. But nonetheless, it would still be the same, a 12.5 milligram dose. So I typically start with a 12.5 milligram dose, sometimes 6.25 milligrams. Then I have the person take a capsule every other day for a week or so, then every day. If 25 milligrams were used, we then increase to 12.5 milligrams daily. And then depending on the person and the health situation, I may recommend increasing beyond that. If a person had cancer, such as breast or prostate, I would anything really, I would instantly jump to 50 milligram daily dose and provide information regarding doing a detox salt flush to help clear the toxins that will be eliminated quickly at that dose. I don't always, when a person has cancer though, go that high. I certainly would for breast cancer recommend that. But because I use a protocol with so many other things, I make sure they're getting a good dose of iodine. But maybe I should rethink that as well and just really jump up to that higher one, especially for the hormonally based cancers, because in the case of hormonal cancers, we actually have the estrogen effect of just stopping that estrogen from being toxic is a really simple way of saying that. So the reason I do it gradually is because if you just slam yourself with iodine and you're not used to it, remember last week I talked about the bromine and the, I talked about the bromine and the chlorine and the fluoride, and that these things are in you. You have been contaminated just by living in the world we are in breathing and living in the house you are, with carpet and the furniture and the flame retardants, all the bromine and then the pools and the pesticides and the herbicides, all these things. We need to get rid of these toxins, and iodine kicks them out. But if you kick them out too quickly, you can really you suffer some, you know, some detox symptoms that aren't pleasant. So I have there in my newsletter how to do a salt loading detox flush. Dissolve a quarter teaspoon of unrefined unprocessed sea salt or Himalayan salt in about 4 fluid ounces or half a cup of warm water. Follow this immediately with 12 to 16 ounces of pure water. This should trigger copious urination. If not, repeat in 30 to 45 minutes and repeat again if necessary. Okay. So then I say selenium as a cofactor is essential. So searching for information regarding iodine can be confusing, as you will find dire warnings based on faulty understanding. However, problems with iodine, such as aggravating Hashimoto's disease, are due to the lack of selenium. Iodine and selenium are a dynamic health duo. The daily dose of selenium for adults is between 200 and 400 micrograms daily. I always make sure my clients are getting at least 200 micrograms. So I take the Soren Basic Nutrients 2 per day multivitamin mineral, and it has 200 micrograms, and that's fine as far as I see it. If I have a client who is taking a different multivitamin that does not have that much, most multivitamins have like 55 to 70 micrograms of selenium, then I provide an extra selenium capsule of 200 micrograms to be sure that that's happening. And selenium and iodine and glutathione. Selenium is in the glutathione pathway. These are the nutrients, if you will, that protect the thyroid. That what is iodine? Why is iodine harmful if without selenium? Because it can produce hydrogen peroxide inflammation, and selenium takes care of that. Now, you would say, well, see, that's a bad thing. No, because in the perfect world, the way we were created, you would naturally be getting plenty of the right amount of selenium and the right amount of iodine, right? But that's why we were doing these supplements, because we're not. And because we're also fighting, you know, a bigger problem of iodine being pushed out of our bodies with our toxic environment. And so that's the critical missing piece to that. I had a woman make an appointment yesterday, and she's making an appointment because she was recently diagnosed with Graves' disease. And Graves' disease is autoimmune hyperthyroidism. Hyperthyroidism, also all thyroid problems are related to an iodine deficiency problem. But oh my gosh, she said, I just don't know what to eat because I've been told not to eat gluten. And now I can't eat fish. And I said, well, why can't you eat fish? And she said, well, because of iodine. And I said, no, you need iodine. I said, but I'll explain that all when you come for your consultation. But this is what you will find. If you go to the internet and you look up Graves' disease, you will find warnings, do not take iodine. I actually have a paper. I didn't put it in the newsletter today by, I think this one was, I'm trying to think of which doctor did this particular one. I think it might have been Dr. Circus. But how iodine actually will treat Graves' disease, but you have to use it properly, right? You have to use it the right way. And so, again, a lot of misinformation out there. Now, there's another thing. I read this when I was reading what I was talking about Bill Davis, the cardiologist who wrote Wheat Belly. He was saying TSH iodine can make your TSH go really high, showing that it's making you hypothyroid. Well, no, that's because TSH has another entire role in the body when it comes to the thyroid. And that is, so TSH is a thyroid stimulating hormone. It's made by the pituitary gland. Pituitary gland makes more of it when it senses that there's not enough iodine in your bloodstream. And that's how doctors will say, if your TSH rises, it shows that you're becoming hypothyroid, you're low thyroid. But TSH has another entire problem. And that problem is, getting iodine into the thyroid gland. And so it's the energy that the body uses to get that into the thyroid gland. And it does that in a process called the sodium symport system. And so there's on my newsletter, I put that great short 6-minute video. Can't think of his name, but I've watched it a million times because I show it to so many clients, explaining elevated TSH while using iodine. Don't freak out. And it explains that whole principle. And then I also have there in my newsletter, I have my explanation in written form. And so it just explains all of that. So you don't need to be worried about that. There truly is not a problem with using iodine. You use it the right way. You use it in a dose that's appropriate for you. So again, in my newsletter there, I have Healing with Iodine, Your Missing Link to Better Health by Dr. Mark Serkis, The Iodine Crisis, Lynn Farrow. I'm going to be reading some excerpts from her book as we close this out today. And again, I'm just so bummed that I screwed this up using that mute button. But I bet I won't do that again. And then Iodine, Why You Need It, Why You Can't Live Without It, is the book that I read back in 2007 that tipped me off to all of this. And I recommend that you get at least one of them and do that. You'll see yourself there. You'll be intrigued. You'll be, I don't know if that kind of reading is, if you're listening to this kind of thing, that kind of reading is interesting to you. I guess I would just know that. So again, maybe you have questions about whether your health problems might be related to iodine deficiency, or maybe something or some things else. Again, I would welcome the opportunity to work with you. So if you would like to talk with me about maybe scheduling a consult, my number here is 603-439-2603. And you can also reach out to me from my website, wondrousroots.org, from the Contact Us page. Okay, so I'm going to do a little reading here. Today is going to actually wrap up my coverage of iodine, although I'm always welcome to come back and talk about it or answer any questions. Be moving on into nutrient deficiency next week. And I think my next big one, it's either going to be magnesium or sulfur. And sulfur will lead us to glutathione. But sulfur deficiency is huge, super, super important, very, 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 very super important. Magnesium is critically important, and there's several different forms of magnesium. But it's, again, it is both sulfur and magnesium, like iodine and like lithium, the first nutrient I talked about a few weeks ago, are all missing, largely go missing in the foods we eat or the water we drink or wherever they're supposed to be coming from. And they need to be supplemented. So that's where we are in this part of the series, Why Are We So Sick? So anyway, here we have Meet Sue. This is an iodine story. Energy returns, breasts soften, and dermoid cysts disappear. I'm a 43-year-old female. I heard about iodine on the net and thought it was probably can't hurt. So many other on the Cure Zone Iodine Forum website have been using it for years. I tried iodine to see if it would work on my lumpy breasts. When I first took 50 milligrams iodorol, I got a huge surge of mental energy. Not like caffeine, just clear thinking. I didn't realize I had been that slow-brained before. I'm a writer, so this brain boost really came in handy. It took about 3 months before my breasts became squishy again. This is a relief because I was nervous that inflamed breasts might lead to cancer. My skin also got clearer, and a dermoid cyst I've had on my wrist suddenly wasn't there. Yeah, I would like to say that about cysts. When anybody talks about a cyst of any kind, think iodine deficiency. We think, yeah, it makes sense, right, for fibrocystic breast, cysts in the breast, which are all about estrogen and all of that kind of thing. But yeah, a dermoid cyst, a ganglion cyst, cysts a Bartholian cyst, cysts that people might not even think of with regards to iodine. This is Meet Mindy. Graves' disease symptoms improve. Okay, I was just talking about that. That people think, oh, Graves' disease, hyperthyroidism, all you're going to do is rev up that thyroid and you're going to go, you know, go blasting off out of the universe with overdriven thyroid function. No, I was diagnosed with Graves' disease about a year ago. And a few months after that, my right eye became so swollen and exhibited mild exophthalmos. Okay, so that's the bulging eyes that come with hyperthyroidism. I recently began taking 25 milligrams iodorol with vitamin C, magnesium, selenium, and sea salt. I've noticed that my pulse has slowed down from 88 to 78 and that I don't need 9 hours of sleep anymore. Okay. And then here, meet Frank. Prostatitis improves, less nighttime urination, hair regrowth. I've not posted this anywhere yet. Iodine cured my prostate problems, called prostatitis. My symptoms were weak urine flow, starting and stopping, 3 or more trips to the bathroom every night. I slowly titrated iodine from 0.5 milligram to 50 milligrams over a 4-month period. So he went really cautiously, going slow to prevent detox symptoms. After 3 months and iodine at 25 milligrams daily with required supplements, it was clear that my prostate problems were fading away. After 4 months of iodine at 50 milligrams daily, my prostate problems are gone. Now I only get up once in the night and even last all night without getting up at times. Urine flow is great and life is good. Also, my hair seems to be growing in. Okay, so that kind of thing, that makes me feel like, wow, there's a lot of people that probably could benefit from more than what I've been recommending, right? So you know, keep this in mind. Keep this in mind for yourself. Hypothyroid disease, meet Charlene. Hypothyroid disease with autoimmune antibodies, that's Hashimoto's, resolve. Breast scan goes from a high risk level 4 to level 1. I wanted to tell you my success story, to encourage you to keep getting the news out about iodorol. I am hypothyroid and have been seeing a holistic MD for the past 3 years. He put me on iodorol. I take 50 milligrams a day for my thyroid antibodies, breast health, and because I live in Michigan, the goiter belt, right? That's an area that's notoriously very low iodine. And interesting, okay, so this is the thing. This is what they'll tell you. With Hashimoto's, you cannot, if you have anti-thyroid antibodies, do not take iodine. That's what your endocrinologist will say. 2 years ago, I got my first thermoscan, the infrared mammography that a lot of you are probably familiar with, maybe have had done, that was a level 4 on one side. It scared me half to death. My MD increased my iodine, had me take calcium deglucarate, which is that helps break down estrogen, and 6 months of Oncoplex, which I'm not sure what that is. I am happy to report that after 6 months, my thermoscan downgraded to level 3, and now a year and a half later, it is level 1, normal on both sides. Not only that, the thyroid antibodies are no longer showing up in my blood work. I am thanking the Lord and being faithful with my iodorol and ATP cofactors. Okay, so again, ATP cofactors, those are supplements that boost mitochondrial energy, such as glutathione, CoQ10, methylene blue. Got to talk about that. Other cofactors are lipoic acid. So there are many that we can use to boost mitochondrial function. And this person, meet Mary Ann. Extreme bladder issues and pain, fertility issues, low basal temperature, history of irregular periods, fibrocystic breasts, ovarian cysts, mood and energy issues. Now on the mend. I believe that my misadventures with iodine deficiency began with early, just turned 10 menses, very painful and heavy. The next few years, I had irregular periods, no periods for months at a time, ovarian cysts, was underweight, had low basal temp, that's a basal body thermometer, is a finely incremented thermometer they use to predict when you're ovulating, that kind of thing. But we use it based on the work of Broda Barnes, Dr. Broda Barnes, to see if you have a perpetually low body temperature, which indicates a thyroid problem. Okay. low blood pressure, low blood sugar, and slow heart rate. Had trouble conceiving until I finally got my weight up to 105. Had typical thyroid issues that follow pregnancies and breastfeeding. Had my first bladder infection at 18, and have been in a living nightmare of recurrent infections, misdiagnoses, bladder neck polyps, extreme and painful treatments, way too many antibiotics, and enough pain at times to make me consider suicide. Now, I discover that bladder issues like mine are also a symptom of iodine deficiency, and that iodine therapy not only reverses the cause but treats the bladder and infections, including urethral and bladder spasms. I can only imagine, but I think these spasms may be similar to prostate issues. I think that that's probably not right, but anyway, because I don't think that those are spasms. It's swollen prostate. I've had my urethra spasm so hard that it clamped down and shut off urine flow. I have had to hightail it to the ER for an immediate catheterization or literally face a ruptured bladder. As you can imagine, the cath bag would look more like blood than urine. So now I find that the answer all along has been iodine. And even just 10 days into 12.5 milligrams of iodine therapy, I feel more comfortable with my bladder or urethra that I can remember feeling in years, better mood and energy too. And there are more. Monica, meet Monica, suffering from Paget's disease, a kind of breast cancer affecting the skin. It improved in 3 months. And then what else do we have here? Samantha, uterine fibroids, fibrocystic breast disease, not detectable after 9 months. I am one of those people who have had great success with iodine supplementation to cure uterine fibroids. I use Lugol solution, so it has more elementary iodine than plain SSKI, which is just potassium iodide, but we don't use that anyway. Elemental iodine is really important for women with uterine fibroids or fibrocystic breast disease, which I also had. In the, the tri-iodine, we have the molecular iodine they put in there for that piece that is specifically hormonal. So it's a little bit different than the iodorol, but they cover the whole basis, both of them. I started with 50 milligrams Lugol per day and a glass of water first thing in the morning. Wow, she started right with her 50 milligrams. I did have a week or so of detox reaction, but I upped the dose to 100 milligrams per day, and these detox symptoms passed quickly. Very interesting. In a few weeks, I saw a dramatic reduction in my fibrocystic breast disease, and the uterine fibroids started shrinking. After 6 months of iodine supplementation, most of the fibrocystic breast disease was gone, and the uterine fibroids were almost gone. After 9 months, I had a breast examination, and no fibrocystic breast disease could be detected at all. I also had an ultrasound, and no uterine fibroids could be detected either. My cycle is now normal, with no pain and regular as clockwork. Now look at this one, meet Dieter. Atrial fibrillation improvement. Remember I talked about that last week if you were listening? Yeah. Very important. And no more herpes lip flare-ups. I've been gradually but cautiously increasing number of drops of 5% Lugol, now on 4 drops per day. That's probably about, at 5%, that's probably about 25 milligrams. I've gained over 10 pounds. I've tried liver detox and use magnesium salt, vitamin C, water protocol. Only thing I've noticed is a smoother heartbeat, less AFib episodes, and no herpes lip flare-ups. My beard seems fuller. Meet Donna. I decided to up energy returns, PMS fatigue gone. Decided to up my iodorol intake to the full pill from half for the long weekend off from work. Well, the difference in my energy is astounding. I've accomplished a huge amount in my home in the last 2 days, plus got the shopping done, and I'm taking care of a very sick husband. I'm also in the middle of PMS week, which normally means I would lay around and get nothing done. I'm going to stay at this level for at least a week and then go up another half a pill. I'm not sure I'll ever go as high as 50 milligrams, but you never know. And this one, Holly, probably my last one I'll have time for. Dry eyes and vaginal dryness helped by iodine. I recently had a 2-week break from iodine for various life craziness reasons. And while I never noticed dry eyes before I started the iodine, I could really notice the difference during the time I was off iodine. My eyes were dry and somewhat itchy. I started up the iodine again, and after a couple of days, my eyes returned to normal. I meant to post about it here and totally forgot. See, I really should be better at taking my iodine. As soon as I stop, my mind and body fall apart. I also noticed vaginal dryness when not taking iodine. I recall watching a video link a while back about how iodine affects the body, and it is important for any organ gland that secretes so that actually fits If you think about it, our eyes constantly need to secrete tiny amounts of fluid to stay lubricated. I don't know how or why, but somehow iodine helps with maintaining secretion throughout the body. So, if you're just learning about iodine, please consider this. Call me, reach out to me, email me with any questions about your personal situation. I'd be happy to meet with you in consultation. And anyway, just go for it. Learn more. Do all that. I also want to say, I think I'm going to do a second newsletter, a weekend newsletter where I can do all my fun stuff like recipes and talk about other things that aren't on topic. But I got to run because I think they're going to cut me off here pretty quickly. So I'm going to say goodbye. Have a wonderful rest of your weekend. And I'll be back next week. And I will not touch that mute button. I promise. Take care. Have a great day.